Shavuot Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Zayin, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah at the top of the daf. Mi shenizrak alav echad min hadamim. So we had the argument before about whether acher means acher maaseh kulam, or acher means acher maaseh yechidi, which is the das of the Chachamim, in which case, afil nizrak echad bin adamim, the nazir has basically completed. However, what we never talked about is an interesting point, which is what happens if the nazir is tameh for the actual hakrovas karbonos. That is a problem, because his karbonos have to be brought b'tahira. And if he turns out to be tamei, so then what is going to be the situation? We've been talking until now about what the situation is if he's tamei in a way that affects the Yemei HaNazirut. But what happens if he's already in the middle of bringing his korbanos? So now the Mishnah discusses this point, and originally we misunderstood it. And we read it like this. Mishin Yizrak alav echad min hadamim v'nitma. So if one of the korbanos was brought properly for this nazir, and then he becomes tummy. So we thought that the meaning of the next line is that Rabbi Eliezer Omer soter et hakol, which doesn't make any sense. Because remember that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if your nitma on the melois, the maximum is that you just wait until your hair grows back, which is the shivas yomim according to Rabbi Eliezer. He doesn't even need the shloshim yomim, because he only needs enough that the Rosh Hashanah should be Magia LaYikrei. Something's very strange over here. So it's going to turn out, as we'll see in the Gemara, that in the reality, we are not talking about the Nazir's own Naziras. We're talking about the question of whether the carbon that he brought already, and that was good, and then he became Tamei, whether now he has to redo the whole thing again. Because since he, according to Rabbi Eliezer, remember, since he understands achar means achar maaseh kulam, then that means that all three korbanos are essentially one unit, according to him. And therefore, if you messed up in the middle, because now you came to tamei, you can't complete the unit, so now you're going to have to go back to the beginning, which means that he loses the first korban. That's how the Gemara ends up understanding it. Whereas the Chachamim Imrim, yavishar karbanotav. No, it's a problem. Because remember, according to the Chachamim, Maise means Maase even Echad. In which case, even bringing the dam of one of these Karbanos was sufficient to conclude his Naziris. And therefore, say the Chachamim, understand what the problem is. He's basically already concluded his Naziris. So now what's the problem? That he owes the other Karbanos? Fine. So, okay. So let him bring the other Karbanos when he becomes tar, which is the way the Yerushalmi explains the words, yavishar korbanotav, v'yitaher. Does that mean that that is necessary in order for him to become tar? Which obviously, that's ridiculous. His tahira is just the standard tahira of a tamei meis. So it means when he becomes tahar, then he can bring his other korbanos as part of becoming tar. Like, what's the problem? Amrulo, and they pointed out to Rebbe Eliezer that there was an actual maisa like this, maaseh b'miryam hatar modit. So it should probably say the, not Tarmod, but Tad Morit, which is the Gears of many of the Rishonim. So the Tad Morit Miriam, Tadmor is a famous city. I mean, Tarmod, I don't know. Anyway, so Miriam at Tad Morit, she nizrak alecha min adamim. So she was a Nizira. They did the first korban. They were brought to do the others, and they rushed in, and they told her that her daughter was seriously injured. She's dying. She gets there immediately. She runs to her daughter and finds that she'd already died. And she had exposed herself to the tumah. So Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim told her, after she becomes tahar, tavishar korbanotah, she should then bring the rest of her korbanos. So you see clearly that the issue is simply a matter of filling in. But what you've done already with Maisa Echad is sufficient. So let's take a look at that mission again, because as I told you, we misunderstood it. And we thought that Rabbi Eliezer was saying that you got to start your Naziris over again, which is crazy. Katani Rabbi Eliezer, Amir Soterat HaKol, that's impossible. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer was the one who said that kol achar malot shiva soter. He was the one who said that you don't have to wait shloshim yom, and that maximum you have a problem of 7 days till you become tahor, and or till in this case your hair would grow back, you know, enough to be kaifei ferosha liikre. How could he possibly say that after bringing a carbon, it's going to be worse, and then you're going to lose your naziris? Omar Rav, no, of course not. The Mishnah is talking about my soter nami, the Gemara of Eliezer. The Mishnah was referring to be soter the carbonos, not to be soter the days of the naziris. And look, that's only reasonable, isn't it? Because, I mean, if you look at what the Chachamim responded, so the Chachamim said, Tavi shar karbonotavi detayer. Let her bring the other karbonos, and it'll be okay. What other karbonos? I thought we were talking about the days. And apparently that's the whole issue. They were arguing about whether she can bring shar karbonotel or not. Shema mina. Now, I have to tell you that the next piece of the Gemara makes no sense. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah with the rest of the Mishnah. There's no reason to quote the rest of the Mishnah of the Maaseh, the Miriam at Tarmodit, Shinizrak Aleachud Minatami, Mubov Hodiyu Abita Shaitam Sukenet. All of this is extra, right? The Alchao Matzah Shemeta, the Omru Chachamim, Tavi Shar Karbonatea Vititaher. And again it says Shema Amina. Okay, so the Bach takes out the Shema Amina, but listen. I mean, it takes the first Shema Amina. But the point is, there is no need on the surface for this story. Like, what's going on? We just needed to bring. And you'll notice another weird thing, that when the Gemara brings the words of the Chachamim before the story of this Miriam, it quotes it b'loshen nekeva. It says that the Chachamim said, Tavi shar karbonotel v'titaher. That's ridiculous. That's a quote from the Miriam at Tardomit. It's not a quote from the Chachamim in the Mishnah, who weren't talking about a woman. And all they were saying is, let him bring the rest of his karbonos, right? So something is clearly wrong. It isn't obvious what that is. Now, I want to suggest that, because I haven't found anyone that simply takes out the Maisa of Miriam HaTardumit, which would be the most logical thing to do, and then just to excuse the Lashon Nekeva in the first part by saying, well, we got mixed up in the quote. We just continued quoting the Miriam at Tardomit, which some of the Rishonim say, you know, which, okay, so that's just to excuse the Lashon Nekeva. So I would suggest that what's really going on here to make sense out of it is like this. The Mefarish here brings another approach, and I'm convinced but the reason that he brought the other approach was to excuse the story that is rebrought over here of Miriam HaTarmodit, and also to explain why we need the story at all. I mean, okay, like this, you say we need the story just in the Mishnah to show Maisa Rav, you know, maybe. But here's my suggestion. So the Mefarish says that an alternative approach to the Mishnah is that when Rabbi Eliezer said soterat hakol, he did not mean just that she... Why does he say soterat hakol? Why doesn't he say that her korban is nisteret? He's saying soterat hakol according to this pshat, because even the first korbanos that she had set aside and had not yet done the zrikas dam, had not yet shechted those korbanos, she cannot use those first korbanos, and she has to use alternative korbanos. And that's what he was saying, because since, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they are all essentially one korban naziris, v'haraya, achar means achar ma'aseh kulam, so it means we're treating them all as if they're all part of the same korban that allows her to conclude the naziris. So what he's trying to say is that she has to bring a whole set of new korbanos, and the karbonos that had been set aside to be brought with this first karbon, whichever one it was, they need to be replaced. Okay, and it's strange, kind of svara, and where we would get the idea that they need to be replaced isn't very clear. But okay, it may be it's a concept of tefiyah of some kind, And kimon shenitche, nitche, because she couldn't bring them while she was tamea. I don't know. I don't want to get into the details because he doesn't justify this pirish, the mafarish. But if that is the pirish, then it would mean that we need to prove that the argument revolved around the original korbanos, and not just around this last korban, you see? So, if that's the case, we could not simply have quoted the Lashon in the Mishnah without the Maisa of Miriam. And this would explain as well why the Girsa that brings the language in the feminine, Tavi, Shar Korbanoteha, why is that the Lashon of the first Shema Mina in the Gemara? So I think that the idea is like this. If the Mishnah alone would have been quoted, Yavi Shar Korbanotav V'yitaher, then I would have said that could simply mean that he simply brings whatever other Korbanos he owes, but it doesn't mean that they say that it's okay to bring the original. Maybe you have to replace the other two with new korbanos. And they're only arguing about the third korban, right? In which case, they're not arguing with Rabbi Eliezer about whether you need to replace the ones that weren't roy to be brought. They're only arguing about whether you can use the one that was already brought. Basha Einkein, because what would it mean when you say, he brings his other korbanos. He brings his other korbanos would simply be a general universal statement. Like we say, whenever we use Lashon Zachar, it's universal. He brings the other korbanos. That's not focusing on whether it does need replacement or doesn't need replacement. But when there's a particular case where they needed to paskin what the woman should do, then when they say she should bring her korbanos, Lashon Nekeva, it obviously is referring to her original korbanos. Let her bring her korbanos, the one that she had set aside from before. That's the proof, according to this approach, that the Chachamim were arguing about the kashrus of the original korbanos as well. And therefore, we can only bring that as the full Shema Mina, you see? So because of that, it could be that initially there were maybe two approaches, both of which had a raya from the Gemara. The first approach was the first approach that we took, that nobody says you have to replace the original korbanos. And if that was the case, then we wouldn't have needed the Lashon Nekeva. But if we're saying this approach, so that accounted for the first girsa in the Gemara that just brought the line from the Mishnah and said Shema Mina. Then to account for this derech acher that Rashi, the Mefarish brings, inyan acher, that they're arguing about whether the original korbanos she set aside were kosher or not, then we brought that piece to talk about her other korbanos. Anyway, I'm just being ma'ira. It's not really all that important, but because anyway, Nalach is like the Chachamim, but it's an interesting way in which we could at least make sense of the closing Gemara, and we can therefore concentrate on the words of our Kapitan, whom Zoom has so clearly placed right next to Doc, because we're going to be talking about the Sgan Kayin in a minute, who may come to replace the original, and therefore just to make it very, very a real show and tell, we've got Doc next to Richie. Let's see whether Richie is ready. Hadranalach. Huh?
Never mind, go ahead.
Hadranalach. Shlosh. Adrena Lach Shlosh Aminim. Now, moving on. So the question is, we have seen some fascinating interrelationships between the dinim of a Kohen and the dinim of a Nazir. And what's even more interesting, of course, is that the bringing of the entire Parsha of Nazirus in the very parsha in the Torah in which we talk about the extension, this is an asay, which the extension of the dinim of the Mishkan are brought into the machane, such that the dinim that were meyuchad for a kohen tediot and a kohen gadol suddenly become apropos to anybody who accepts upon himself nazirus. So now the question is, what is the status of the kohen gadol versus the Nazir, or a Kohen, an Hedyot, versus the Nazir, when it comes, I mean, how are we going to decide who's on a different higher madrega vis-a-vis the inyanim of Tuma? We're going to see that, strangely enough, there are different dinim about which Tuma es meis the Nazir is mitgaleach alav, which he isn't mitgaleach alav, which we've already talked about, but we didn't go into the details. And it turns out that those differences are strangely also nogeya other inyani, namely the issue of the Kohen as well, as we'll see. So we got to take a look at that. It's nogeya which tumas you're chayev on if you go into the Beis HaMikdash. Those three issues, therefore, going to the Beis HaMikdash, relationship of tumas, specific tumas to the Nazir, and going into the Beis HaMikdash, and the interrelationship of the levels of Kedusha between the Nazir and between the Kohen Gadol, and Agav, we'll talk about overall the levels of Kedusha vis-a-vis exposure to Tuma. All of those things are the topic of our new Perek, Kohen Gadol and Nazir. So, the din is that a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, neither of them, it should say Einam, neither of them are mitame to their relatives, and both of them are mitame to a mate mitzvah. So, how about if you've got a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol walking side by side, and they find a mate mitzvah? Well, obviously they don't both need to be mitame. So, which one ought to be the one to be mitame, and therefore cause the least damage to the levels of Kedusha? Well, says Rabbi Eliezer, I say, Yitama Kohen Gadol, Va Yitamea Nazir. Unbelievable. So that means that the Darga of the Nazir is more important to be Shomer than the Darga of the Kohen Gadol. Amazing. We'll see what his logic is in a moment. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, Yitama Nazir, Va Yitame, even any Kohen, I mean, even a Kohen Adyat, a Nazir is not as chomer as the Kohen. Certainly not of the Kohen Gadol. Amarle am Reb Eliezer. Well, let me explain to you why I say what I do. I say that Yitama Kohen, because look, when a Kohen is metame, does he bring a korban for the fact that he was tame? Of course not. He simply becomes tar. Then he goes back to doing the Aveda. But if a Nazir becomes tame, he has to bring a korban. Now that shows that there's a chumrah in the Kedusha of the Nazir over and above that of the Kohen Gadol even. And therefore, we should not be metame the Nazir in this case for the sake of the Meit Mitzvah, and it would make more sense for the Kohen Gadol. Whereas the Chachamim say, Omru lo, but that's not correct, because, look, Yitama ha-Nazir she'en kedushato kedushat olam. A Nazir is not a permanent situation. You could tie it, what if it's a Nazir Olam? So then it is permanent, but it's not true. Because even a Nazir Olam can always be Sho'el on his Nazirut. And if he possibly, not itself is not so bar, but if he could be Sho'el on his Nazirut, so then it would mean that it's not a permanent situation. But even according, if you learn that we're talking not about She'ela, and we're talking about a Nazir Olam, it could still be referring to, and some of the Rishonim say this, the point is that Kohuna is a passing on from generation to generation phenomena. In that sense, it's forever. Mashenkin, the Nazir, even if he is a Nazir Olam, and even if we're not talking about She'ela and his Naziras, it certainly doesn't go to the next generation. So therefore, it's not as chomer. And better that the Nazir should be mitame, va'al yitama kohen shekedushato kedushat olam. So, I mean, it would seem that the machlokus over here is, what is the implication of the Nazir needing to bring a korban on the violation of Tuma, whereas a kohen doesn't? So the question would be, does that affect his darg of kedusha or not? That's the question. Because the fact that a Nazir has to bring a korban could be attributed to the violation of his kedusha, or it could be attributed to the violation of his commitment. I mean, those are two completely different issues, right? If it's a violation of his kedusha, So then I understand that it shows that there's something higher about his Kedusha, because the violation of the Kedusha of a Kohen does not b'chayev a carbon. But if we look at Naziris, the violation of the Naziris, and the carbon that is involved as the violation of his neder, so to speak, for keeping the Naziris, so then it would have no implications for the level of Kedusha when it comes to measuring him up against the Kohen Gadol. And for that matter, according to the Chachamim, for measuring him up even against the Kohen Ediot, which is something that's congenital and permanent. Okay, I would suggest that that's the Machlokas. Anyway, but moving on. So now, okay, we have compared, indeed, this relationship of the Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, and we see that it's Machlokas, Hai Sava Kohen Gadol Adif, okay, Tanakam holds, the Kohen Gadol is more Chomer, Vahai Sava Nazir Adif, because of the carbon, says Reb Eliezer. But there's a lot of other cases where we would be faced by the same choice of which one should be the one to be metame. So let's imagine a case like this. You have a Kohen who was Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha walking down the street with a Kohen who was Meruba B'Gadim. Both of them are Kohanim Gedolim. Who is the one that should be more Machmir? Well, the Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha should be more Machmir. Why? Because his level of Kedusha is greater. So the Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha Adif, and therefore he should not be the one to go and take care of the make mitzvah. Because the Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, he brings the par Kohen Gadol when he makes a mistake in Hora'ah, which is called the par HaBao Kol HaMitzvot. Whereas the Merubah B'Gadim, he does not. He brings the same kind of carbon as anybody else. And there's no din of a special carbon that is set aside for him for a chatas with a ta'ut b'hora'ah. Okay? Makes sense. Of course, there is a little bit of a problem. And that problem is, how the heck did such a thing happen? How could there possibly be two Kohanim Gedolim? There's never two Kohanim Gedolim. And if there was Shemen HaMishcha, so then why didn't they both have the Shemen HaMishcha? How could one Kohen be a Kohen Gadol who's walking down the road hand in hand with another Kohen Gadol, which never happens, and we always avoid that type of situation because we want to avoid their killing each other. And so even in cases where we had to put the Sagan, such as cases when Doc takes the place of Richie, so then it's not so poshut that we can have them both at the same dafyomi at the same time, especially with one screen next to the other. I mean, that is serious competition. And competition can lead to firing bullets through the screen. You know, so we take care of that with the Kohen Gadol. We never allow there to be two Kohanim Gadolim. So how in the world did such a thing ever happen? It seems to be literally an impossibility. So, I mean, Tosis comes up with all kinds of interesting possibilities, right? So Tosis says, look, imagine a situation where one Kohen Gadol was appointed as a Kohen Gadol before the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden, okay? And then he had to go into Galut with Yechonyo. Meanwhile, they hid the Shemen HaMishcha. Okay, but they needed a Kohen Gadol. So then the new Kohen Gadol, who didn't have Shemen HaMishcha, he was only a Meruba Begadim. Years pass, and now this new Kohen Gadol had already been in its position for 40 years. And now, finally, Ezra is able to bring back this previous Kohen Gadol. Now, in such a case, says Tosfos, it would be ridiculous to say that we're going to make that the same as the takana that we have when the Sagan takes the place of the Kohen Gadol for one day, you know? So he's a Kohen Gadol for a day. They used to have a TV program and a queen for a day. So you make the Kohen Gadol for a day. So what happens when the Kohen comes back? So then the original Kohen, he's the one that works. And then this Kohen, he can't ever work again, because if we allow him to work as a Kohen Gadol, he'll end up shooting either Radak or Richard. So we can't let him do that. And he can't go down to only work as a Kohen Head yet, because we have a Klal Malim B'Kodesh Shlo Moridin. But in this case, it's ridiculous. What are we going to say? The new Kohen, who was appointed only with Merubah B'Gadim, has been working for the past 40 years. Well, we're not going to tell him, well, sorry, we got back the original Kohen. Maybe that original Kohen only had worked for a year, you know, by the time he had to go into Golas. We're certainly not going to say in a case like that, sorry, sir, but you're out of a job. So there we would, in fact, end up with two Kohanim Gedolim. And it would be the only case in which we could have a Kohen Gadol walking down the street with a Kohen Gadol, and one of them is Merubah B'Gadim, and one of them is Meshulam HaMishkan. Very cute. So, okay. So in the event that such a, do you wonder why the Rambam doesn't bother posketing this case? It's unlikely to occur again. So in any event, in such a case, says the Gemara, it would make more sense for there to be the Kedusha of the Meshulam HaShemen HaMishcha to be more chomer. Okay. How about if we have two Kohanim Gedolim, one of them is a Kohen Gadol who is a Mashuach, but he was replaced by a Kohen Gadol, and like we have in the normal cases, Lechora, so he ended up being Ovar, because the Kohen Gadol that was there before got back, and then we have a Merubah B'Gadim, which is a Kohen Gadol, who was appointed when there was no Shemen HaMishcha. Now, this is really a weird case. How in the world could we have a case like this? So, okay, what we could have in the case of an Ovar is, okay, we've got a typical Kohen Gadol, says Tosfos. He was Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. It's Yom Kippur, and he's Roya Keri, and now the Skan takes his place, and they started Meshuach the Shemen, so they Moshiach the Skan. So now the Skan is a Kohen Gadol Meshuach. Then the original Kohen goes to the mikveh, comes back tomorrow, and now the din is that the Skan is not able to be Oved because we're afraid he's going to shoot Richie. Same question. So now we have a Mashuach that has been Avar because he's not allowed to work anymore. Now, that Mashuach who wasn't working anymore, okay, what happens when the Kohen Gadol that came back, if he dies? And obviously, the one that had been appointed a Kohen Gadol immediately becomes Kohen Gadol, because the only reason that he wasn't working was to avoid shooting the other Kohen Gadol. Right? He was already a real Kohen Gadol. Problem is that this Kohen Gadol, who was a Mashuach Sha'avar, meanwhile had been dragged away by Nebuchadnezzar. And there he was in Bavel, so he couldn't come back. And therefore they had to appoint a new Kohen Gadol, because this Gan was in Bavel. So they appointed a new Kohen Gadol, but of course by that time there was no Shemen HaMishcha. And therefore, he was only a Merubah B'Gadim. But then, years later, the original Skan comes back. But meanwhile, the Merubah B'Gadim had been working for the past 40 years, and he is certainly not thrown out of a job. So therefore, we have a Mashuach She'avar together with a Merubah B'Gadim, both of whom are now active Kohanim Gedolim. Do you wonder why the Rambam doesn't pass in this case either? Okay. So, in this case, which one comes first? Is the Merubah B'Gadim or the Mashuach She'avar? Because the Merubah B'Gadim is the one who is currently doing his work. And this guy has not been put back to work yet. So the Merubah B'Gadim is Adif, because the Merubah B'Gadim is doing the Aveda, whereas the Mashuach She'avar was not considered to be Ro'i La'Aveda, because we're not going to boot the new Kohen out for him. But Meikar Adin, of course, he is the Kohen Gadol, and he's an higher Madriga. However, practically speaking, he's not doing the Aveda. Another question I have. How about a Ovar Machmat Kiryom versus an Ovar Machmat Mumo? So we've got two Kohanim over here. One of them is not Ro'ui to do Aveda because he was Re'a Keri. The other one isn't Ro'ui to do Aveda because he has a mum, temporary mum, but it may take 30 years to fix. I don't know. So then obviously the Kohen Shavar Machmas Kiriho is Adif because tomorrow he can be Chazal Aveda. And the one who was Zavar Machmas Mumo, he's not going to be able to go back tomorrow to do Aveda. So therefore, the one that was Zavar Machmas Kirio comes on a higher Madrig. But the question that I do have is, how about if you have a Mashuach Mulchama? It's very interesting. Mashuach Mulchama doesn't have a din of a Kohen Gadol, but he's Mashuach B'Shem HaMishka for the specific purpose of speaking to the army and getting things set up for war, making sure that all of those people that aren't shouldn't be there, that we get rid of them, and that the everyone realizes what they're fighting for, what it's all about. So he is given Mashuach B'Shem HaMishka, but he doesn't do Aveda. I don't know why the big N has left. It was so much fun when we had him over here on the Mitzvah Shabbos, telling you, what's going on over here? I mean, is it so expensive? I'm willing to pay extra. Only 10 minutes?
Sorry.
Is that 10 rand a minute, was that?
Let me apologize.
Okay, it's wonderful to have you. It's so special. So the question is, the Sagan did not, he was a Kohen that is going to take the place of Kohen Gadol. So, but it could be that this Sagan was already in a situation that, in which we don't have the Shem HaMishka here, or even if we do. He's not actively right now. He's this Sagan who will take the place of the Kohen Gadol if, Chas V'Shalom, something happens to Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. So, I mean, Ayodif, is the Mashuach Milchama more important than him? Because he is currently active in terms of the preparation for Milchama, the Chasim Milchama, or the Sagan is Adif, because in the event that there is a problem with the Kohen Gadol, he'll take the place for Aveda. So is the Milchama what is considered to be the most important Madrega, that is so central to that, or is it the Aveda? Well, it says Beferish and the Braita, the Tanya. And actually, I mean, we should use, really we have Mishnayos about this also, but we have this additional point, because it says, Ein bein Mashuach Milchama l'Sagan, Ella, the only difference between them is that if they were walking down the road together and they find a meit mitzvah, it's better for the Mashuach Milchama to be Tameh and not the Sagan. But wait a minute, says the Gemara. There's a Braita that says exactly the opposite. The Braita says a Mashuach Milchama is more important than a Sagan. So how come over here he's not? Omar Mar Zutra, because there's two different issues. You're asking the question about who should avoid becoming Tameh. And this Braita is addressing the issue of who's more important. Who's more important means, let's say you've got an opportunity to save the life of the Mashuach Milchama or to save the life of the Sagan. So who's more important? So over there, indeed, the Mashuach Milchama is more important. So l'inyin l'achayoto, we are more makbid on saving a Mashuach Milchama, my taima, to tolo be'rabim. The entire Klal Yisrael is dependent on this person from Milchama and so on. That's an incredibly important chashivas, and he's necessary. Masha'enke l'inyin tuma, where over there, it's only, the tumah is only nogea the aveda. It's not nogea speaking to the Am. So l'inyin tumah, the Sagan is adif, and we don't want him to become tameh. D'tanya, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigna Seimer, lama tiknu Sagan l'kohen gadol. Why is there a Sagan there? The Sagan is there to be available immediately im ira psul on Yom HaKippurim for the Kohen Gadol. The Sagan walks in without further ado, there's no discussion, and he completes the Aveda. So since the Sagan is appointed for Aveda, when it comes to Tuma, Aveda, of course, is more important. Anyway, you'll notice that this Mishnah only discusses the Machlokas about what the din is if you have both a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir. So we want to talk about the relative Chashivas vis-a-vis Tuma of those two. But there's no question whatsoever that if a Kohen Gadol without a Nazir is walking down the street, he's supposed to take care of a Meis Mitzvah. Or if a Nazir without a Kohen Gadol is walking down the street, he's supposed to take care of a Meis Mitzvah. How do we know that that is true? So Ad Kan Lo Pligei Ela B'Kohen Gadol V'Nazir, Kiko Asli Bahari Adade, the entire discussion in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim was Dafka when they're walking together. But Kol Chad V'Chad L'Chudei, either one, of course, is Mitzuvah to be Matami for a Meis Mitzvah. But why is that so simple? Mina Ani Mile. Where does that come from as a Dover Pashat that you're certainly supposed to be Mitame? Oh, now here we have beautiful, beautiful drushes that are simply a joy to behold. We have three different parshias of Tuma. One of them is the Nazir, one of them is the Kohen Gadol, and one of them is the Kohen Hedyot. They are not exactly the same, and each one of them has elements that do not appear in the others. It turns out that we're going to need access to all of these special psukim in order to derive all of the halachas that we need. So we start off with the pasuk about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, it says, V'al kol nafshot meit lo yavo, should not expose himself to any dead person, la'aviv ul'imo lo yitama, for his father and his mother even, he should not become tummy. It doesn't say anything about anyone else. It says about a father and a mother. Now, both by the Nazir and by the Kohen Hedyot, there's a long list of people, not exactly the same list, but there's a list by each of them, besides Aviv v'Imai. So let's see what the point is first with the Kohen Gadol. La'aviv l'imo lo yitama. Now, when you start off, when you say, al kol nafshot meit lo yavo, what do you think that means? That he should not expose himself to tuma of people that are not related to him? Is that what you think? Meaning non-krovim. Non-krovim are called rechokim, obviously, in Hebrew. The relative is karov, so the non-relative is rechok. Okay. So therefore, what do you think it's referring to? If it would be referring to rechokim, you honestly think that the Torah would need to tell you a pasuk that a Kohen Gadol is not mitame for the janitor's funeral? I mean, we know that the din of the Kohen Hedyot can't even be mitame. Uma Kohen Hedyot, who is allowed to be mitame likrovim, he is mitame la'aviv, ulimo, and so on, and nonetheless, he cannot go to the janitor's funeral, even though this janitor has been his janitor for 50 years. And everybody said, wow, what a slob. He didn't even attend the janitor's funeral. He's not allowed to attend the janitor's funeral, right? Okay. So a Kohen Gadol, who's not even allowed to be mitame to his father and his mother, isn't it obvious that he's not going to go to the janitor's funeral? So therefore, when it says, al kol nafshot meit lo yavo, it must be referring to even his relatives. Ella bikrovim akatuv medaber. So then that means that we're already taught in the opening words of the pasuk, a Kohen Gadol is not metame for relatives. Well, if that's true, so then why does it mention his father and his mother? You could stop at that. A Kohen Gadol is not metame to anybody. A kol nafshot meit, no matter how closely related they are. You're not adding anything by saying la'aviv ula'imo lo yitama. Therefore, we say, you know what the meaning of the pasuk is? La'aviv hu deino matame. I don't need to tell you la'aviv deino matame. But what it's stressing is, only to the father he can't be matame. If there is somebody he can be matame to, and who is that? That's the meit mitzvah. Ha mitamehu la meit mitzvah. So saying lo yitame to his father is not necessary for his father. But it is necessary to tell you by implication that he is metame for someone who is a meit mitzvah. And why does it need to mention ula imo? Ah, that is a fascinating addition. Li imo, it comes to tell me that the word li imo is open for gzeira shava. Which gzeira shava? Rebbe's very interesting gzeira shava. Now, this switch now from the Kohen Gadol, where it says, HaKol Nafshot Meit Lo Yavo, Aviv Uleimo Lo Yitama. That's it. Now let's switch for a moment to Nazir. By Nazir, it says, Aviv Uleimo Lo Yitama, but it doesn't just say Aviv Imo, it says La'aviv, Uleimo, Le'achiv, Le'achoto, Lo Yitama Lahem Bimotam. Now, forget about why it says all of these different cases, but why does it stress Bimotam? I mean, obviously Bimotam. That was the original opening. A nefesh mate is not allowed to come. Well, of course Bimotam. If the guy isn't dead, what do you mean? He's not allowed to visit his father or mother? I understand. Obviously, it's talking about that they're dead. Ah, says Rebbe. That comes to tell me that in the event that these relatives have tzaraat, they're not dead, but they're like they're dead, because after all, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Al natihi kamet. And the mitzera is mitami in many ways like a mate. There's a din of something like oil to masbia and the bayit, right? So it's considered to be like a mate. So maybe that would be grounds to say that in the same way that a nazir cannot be mitami for a nefesh mate, he also cannot be metame for a mitzera. Stress is the pasuk. No. Bimotam. Davka bimotam. Now, let's move back, says Rebbe, to the Kohen Gadol. But the Kohen Gadol, it does not say bimotam. So maybe when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, indeed a Kohen Gadol whose father was afflicted with tzaraat, who desperately needs the help of his son to put on bandages and whatever, he's not allowed to be metame himself to help his father. How do I know that a Kohen Gadol is also has no problem of being metame bimotam? Ah, ain't li ela b'nazir, that over there it's mutter for a nazir to be metame for a mitzera. Now, even though it says zav and mitzera, but as the Rishonim speak out, the zav is just brought agav. Because obviously, why would I think that there's a problem with being metame l'zav? It's just that since normally it goes together, zav, mitzera, we put it here. But the only real issue is the mitzera, who is considered to be the equivalent of a mate. So what about a Kohen Gadol? Would he be allowed to be metame to help his father, who is a mitzera? Ah, think about it for a moment. Why do you think it says, la'aviv u'le'imo? If it was just coming to tell me the din of metame hulamet mitzvah, we would have known that just from the words, la'aviv, after it said, al kol nafshot meit lo yavo, right? So the reason it says le'imo is specifically to tell you, hey, buddy, what are you going to do with that extra word le'imo? Oh, gosh, I don't know. What am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you. We're making it available to you. Now, you can either cash it in for a Coke, or, better yet, you could use it for a gzera shava, which needs to have at least one end open. And in this case, we're going to see we're going to want both ends open. So we leave, that's called mufne, remember? So we have an extra emo, and that's there to tell me to make a gzera shava, as we're going to say. So now, tell me what you think it's necessary for. It's obviously not necessary to tell me that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metame to his mother. Why not? You'll say, what do you mean, why not? He's not allowed to be metame to his father. Why would he be allowed to be metame to his mother? He has no idea who his father is. He's only assuming he knows who his father is, right? So, therefore, I was, okay, Torah says, listen, just because you think your father's a nice guy and your mother's a nice guy don't mean you ain't a momser. So therefore, that's why you cannot be metame, because you don't really know it's your father. But you do know it's your mother, so maybe you should be able to be metame for your mother. This is not so partial. You cannot say just because he can't be metame for the father, he can't be metame for the mother. So therefore, I need to prove to you with a beautiful, I love it, with a beautiful diuk, that actually, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that the Kohen Gadol cannot be metame for his mother. Why? Dig this, man. Why? Because look, it's a kal vachomer. A kal vachomer is like this. A Kohen Hedyot is allowed to be metame le'achiv, right? but it's only l'achiv me'aviv, because we learned that out from the Ach Yaakov Avinu, the same way we did with the whole sugya in Yevamos, that an ach refers to an ach from a father. Now, wait a second. What do you mean an ach from a father? An ach from a father is based on two suppositions, that this male is my father, and that this male is also his father. I mean, that's really a tall tale. But nonetheless, we're assuming, and we're allowing you to assume, that this is your father from your brother from the same father, right? So the Kohen Hedyot is allowed to be metame to a brother from the same father. Okay. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metame even to the father himself, where there's only one supposition, because it already said la'aviv, right? So that we know he can't be metame to his father, even though the Kohen Hedyot can even be metame to the brother, even though the brother's only a supposed brother from the same father. Now, Mokum She'ein Kohen Metame, this is absolutely amazing, the Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to be Metame to his brother, who is a brother from his mother, despite the fact that he really knows that this is his brother. Which shows that the relationship from the mother, despite the fact that it's advantageous, since it's as good as a DNA test, and you know that it's your brother, but apparently the Torah is not giving you rights, the same rights to be metame to mother relatives that it gives you to father relatives. So then for sure, ein odin, she'ein kohen gadol metame li'imai. Is that brilliant or not? So that means that if we know that he can't be metame to his father, that he doesn't even know is his father, in the cases where the kohen hedyot could, kol she'ken he cannot be metame to his mother. Okay, so that means that I now know that the pasuk that says imo serves no purpose, because I can figure that out myself. Okay, so why does it say imo? That's what I needed to prove to you. That's a completely meaningless pasuk. So im zachita mehadin, ma tamed lomar imo b'kohen gadol. So why the heck are we talking about this? The Torah should have not bothered mentioning it. Mufna, it's leaving it free and clear for you to use it for the gzeirah shava. So now we have the imai by Kohen Gadol is extra to learn out from the imo that said by Nazir, ne'amar imo b'nazir, ne'amar imo b'Kohen Gadol. Ma imo ha'amur b'nazir b'motame no metame avu metame l'nigam v'lezivatam. Same way that we know by a nazir that it says dafke b'motam, but not for their tzaras, that's not a problem. Same thing is true because of the imo amur b'kohen gadol. It teaches me this amazing zereshava of Rebbe that b'kohen gadol b'motam ena metame avu metame l'nigam l'zivatam. So far, what have we proven? We've discussed the relative chashivas of the different individuals. And then we went down to get to the roots of the Mekoros and the Torah for the rights to be metame to a meis mitzvah. Well, so far we've managed to prove that the nazir, through the nazir, we managed to prove that there's no problem of a kohen gadol being tame with tzaraas, and we've managed to prove that a kohen gadol is metame for a meis mitzvah. We still have no way to prove that the nazir should be metame l'meis mitzvah. Now I know what you're going to say. What do you mean? Ein gzera shava l'mechza. So we do have a way to prove it, because we just used imo to prove that there's no problem of tzaraas for kohen gadol. We can now turn around and use imo, which is mufta for the gzera shava, and we can use it to tell me that the nazir is supposed to be metame for a meis mitzvah. So I would say, put that conundrum in your pipe, smoke it, and then we'll discuss it tomorrow when we go to pick up Baruch Avram from Kupat Cholim. But meanwhile, we're giving him a tough night. You're muted, thank heavens.
In my Gemara, there's no siman of a new blot, which means obviously it's meant to just continue without stopping. It's really all part of Mem Zayin. I don't know why we have to stop.
I'm flummoxed. Okay, Rabbi Osai. It's been a marvelous pleasure that I've been waiting for all day long to get back together with you. Been dreaming of this moment, and it has finally come. So thank you very, very much for being there and giving me all of this joy, and look forward to seeing you with the grace of the good Lord tomorrow morning. So I'm hoping, I mean, look, it's the middle of a sugya. You can help, especially for Rachmei Shamayim, that we can at least finish the sugya, right? So I hope, therefore, Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you tomorrow morning and be able to finish this together, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, Laila Tov then to all. Shavua Tov, Yineel Yeshuati, Eftach, Lo Evchad. Kol Tov.